The 8th chapter of John. And we'll start with verse number 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son," capital S, meaning the Son of God, "but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free," he's talking about if the Son of God makes you free, because they weren't really comprehending what he was talking about, like you are tonight. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said unto him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech?" And then he answers his own question. "Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil." Now this is pretty straight. "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." In other words, whatever it is he wants you to do, you're willing to do it. "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear not, because you are not of God." Wow. Everybody say, wow. Wow. It saddens me to see so many people who are not of God. And we're not against those who think that they are serving their Father, who is the Father of all things. But they're not, because their speech betrays them. Their deeds betray them. That which they don't understand shows that they're not serving God. You don't have to understand everything, but there's some things that if you're a child of God, you see some things, and it's very consistent in all the children of God. You don't have a problem with the truth that sets you free when it's presented. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. While you remain standing just a moment, another scripture I'd like to read a little bit less in the words, just a little bit here in the 10th chapter of the same book. Book of John, the 10th chapter. Amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. I'm trying to look at where I want to read so I can keep it short. Let's go down to verse number 10. In chapter 10 of John. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, He has a devil and is mad. Why hear you him? Others said, These are not the words of him that is a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? You may be seated. And there you have an example of what the Lord was talking about when he said in another scripture that he came to bring a sword. He came, and this is difficult for people who are not of God to understand. He came to bring division. He came to separate those who will follow from those who will not follow. And sometimes that includes family members. Sometimes that includes best friends. Sometimes it includes those that you look up to and have a lot of respect for, because sometimes we're faced with a choice. We do follow what we know to be of God, or we have to say no. But God's just not an ordinary, everyday friend. And He, as we've said many times, is not playing games. Amen? Amen? So the word truth has been used a lot tonight, even in testimonies. Some of you can remember in the last few minutes, we've heard the word truth spoken over this pulpit. And it seems that the service again is ordained of God, because that which I've had on my heart has been spoken along the way, and the songs have all seemingly been a part of a flow of the Spirit of God. And it's good to be able to go to a church and feel like I'm in a place where God enjoys being in church with me. And He blesses us here. You know, I believe God goes to some churches where He doesn't enjoy being there. Because can you imagine poor old God sitting in a church and some man of the cloth standing up there speaking lies to the congregation concerning the Word of God and telling people a way to get saved, and it's not God's way at all, and here's God Himself there. He always goes to every church of every denomination. He's present. He's always there before the preacher gets there. He's there. You know, the reason you can call on Him when you get to church, you can feel His presence right now, is because He's already here when you get here. He never misses a service. God never misses any service. He goes to every Catholic Mass. He goes to every Baptist congregation, get-together, whatever it is. Because you know what? He constantly, God Almighty, is constantly looking for one sincere heart that wants to hear His voice and wants to follow Him. And they show up in these churches. People who have made a decision to follow Jesus show up in crusades, camp meetings, revival meetings. And it doesn't, you know, I'm not saying it doesn't matter what you call yourself necessarily. But what does matter is, are we following God or are we following something else? So no matter what we're calling ourselves, what we need to find out is, where is truth in all of this? Where is truth? Because the fact that God is there doesn't mean that everybody there is hearing God. It doesn't mean everybody there is teaching the truth. It just means that God loves the world so much that He will do whatever it takes to bring those who are willing unto Himself. So many times we've heard people testify, I was once this certain other type of, what they call something else, but God delivered me from that and showed me the way. You know, and various church names are brought up, various groups. And you hear people sometimes as they express with great emotion how God has taken me from the ignorance that I learned in those places. The things that were not consistent with the Word, but I didn't know any better. I was just wanting to be a Christian. I just wanted to serve God. And I know that He touched me when I was in those places. And I know that I prayed to Him and He heard my prayer and He healed me when I was in those places. I've heard those testimonies right here many times. I know when I was not aware of this truth and I was not serving God in truth, that God was hearing my prayers because they were coming from my heart because I wanted to serve God. I've heard those testimonies from several of you. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's such a privilege to be able to come, even if it's a small group, to get together with a little group of people who have found their way. Thank you, Jesus. That's where we find all this excitement when we get together. The reason somebody can say something and everybody says, Amen, it's because we're hearing the same voice. It's not just because we're agreeing. This is not a political thing. It's not just because I like what that one's saying, somebody else likes what that one over there saying. It's because there are times when certain truth comes forth and it just makes everybody happy that's serving God. We can relate to knowing His voice. Wherever we've been, school, at work, or whatever we've been involved in, it had us going all kinds of direction. When somebody speaks what others have been hearing, and they knew it was coming from God, but somebody else is saying it, it brings a response. And many times, all the hands go up at once, and you hear people say, Hallelujah, Amen, glory to God. What is that all about? We're not telling people to do that. We don't teach people here to raise their hands. I don't think I've ever taught anybody in my life to raise their hands. But every church I've ever been in all my life, they've raised their hands. I don't think I've ever... The only time I ever taught anybody to clap their hands that I can remember was when I went to Russia. And those people were a little bit shy about clapping their hands. And about half of them finally gave in to it. Others folded their arms and watched them. Because it's such a foreign thing after they had been, you know, subjected to years of torture and having to worship in privacy and hide their worship because of communism and the threat if they should be caught worshiping God. But after that was lifted, still the years of hiding and trying to keep everything secret and watching to make sure that some spy didn't come in to spy out your worship so they could take you out and send you off to Siberia. That was still, after years of having to go through that was still a part of their life. And so I had no problem. I understood, you know, why some of them were not ready yet to clap their hands, because when you clap your hands, it makes noise. But I saw some of them clapping their hands for the first time in church. It started off with them looking to the right and the left and just lightly. You know, you couldn't hear it, but you could tell they were trying it out. Trying it out. But as we started talking about the Word of God and about how God is pleased to make a joyful noise to the Lord and how that we're free to do that, nobody's going to arrest anybody, and it's time for us to change and just let our hearts express ourselves. And as we started clapping our hands, and pretty soon even the pastor of that group started clapping his hands. And others saw him and it looked like they were surprised. So other hands started clapping. Pretty soon they were just clapping all over the congregation while some of them stood set with a smile on their face. It's like, I'm glad they're doing it. You know, I hope I can someday. You know, And I saw some turn around and look and watch them clap. And I saw one older lady, she looked over the congregation, and she looked back, and she said, like it was a thing to do, but she wasn't doing it. Amen, she wasn't doing it. But it's so good to be able to freely receive from God and give to God. To freely hear from God and speak to God. And to know that you've heard from God, and to know that He's hearing you when you talk. We don't just request prayer because it's a tradition for us to get up here and say, pray for so-and-so and pray for so-and-so. But I absolutely believe that there are others besides myself who believe that God hears our prayers. And this is truth. This is truth. God hears our prayers. So many people who say that they have what we have are missing out on the blessings that they could experience because it's obvious that they don't have the same Father. Because if you have the Father that I'm talking about, which is Father God, you hear Father God mentioned many times. If you have God in your life, and your God is God, then if you can go to church, especially one where the truth people come together, you're going to be here if you can. You're going to knock down whatever you have to knock down. I'm not talking about people now, but well, you might even have to do that sometime. But you're going to push out of your way any schedule you can possibly push out of your way. You don't have to have somebody up here saying, you better go to church or I'm going to get after you. No, nobody has to be over-persuaded or threatened in any way to try to make you come to church. All we got to do is open the door, and you just got to know when it's going to be open and when it's going to happen. And you'll be here. You'll be here. Why? Because you know that the one who speaks to you through the day that you're hearing from and you're talking to and he's hearing you is going to meet you here. And he's not telling you lies. And you're not having to walk around saying, I love the way you lie to anybody. His word is truth. And he said some of these things to these folks that followed him 2,000 years ago. And some of them took up stones to kill him. They, you know, let's get rid of this guy now. Because one thing he said that really puzzled them, he said, I and my Father are one. And that was when they wanted to take up stones to kill him. Now that just... But he told them, said, now, if you were of God, you could receive this. You know, some people say I'm a little too strict as a pastor. One man down south told a group of people, and it came back to me. He said, you know, Brother Rutledge, you'd have a real large church if you wouldn't be so strict up there in Norwich, Connecticut. Well, I'm not trying to build a church for myself. Are you, Brother Joe? Ain't nothing more troubling and aggravating than a big crowd of people that live for the devil. Who wants that? We could attract a whole gang of people for doing what they want us to do and saying what they want to hear. But they're all welcome to come because what you're going to hear when you get into this place is truth. Amen. And truth can set you free. Amen. Most folks, when they show up, not all, but most visitors come with the attitude, I know more than these people about God already. But I'll come and see what they're doing. Maybe there's something here I can learn or something I can pick up. But, you can tell by the expression on their faces and the attitude and the way they look and the way they conduct themselves. And I'm not criticizing anybody. It just takes a little while to get, if you haven't been a part of something like this, it takes a little while to adjust for some folks, and we understand that. But after a while, when you finally realize God is doing a work here, and that which you have been following around does not result in all this happiness, it does not end up in all this joy, it doesn't end up with you walking a straight line all the time, it doesn't end up with you talking without having to guard to see if you're saying something you shouldn't say, but it just the right kind of words just come out your mouth. You start noticing these people talk different, and they act different, and they seem happy, and it seems real. After a while, if you keep on coming around, you're finally going to catch on. There's something here you ain't got. It's God. Because if you were of God, you'd be doing the same things the other people of God are doing. Getting happy when somebody says, I've got joy like a river. Woo! I got peace like a river. I feel good. You know, well, we know what you're talking about. We know what you're talking about. Hey, look, even if you're just getting started for God, you already, if you're following what started you, you're already of God. You're the other sheep that are not of this fold, but you're on your way. Jesus said, I have other sheep. That means he already had some folks in mind that are going to be a part of this that are on their way. Amen. Hey, look, if you're not fully into this thing, just be glad that you're about to get in on it. And Jesus is working with you just like he's working with those that are already in it. When Jesus says, I have other sheep who are not of this fold, that's just about as good as him saying, you're part of this too. Because if Jesus has these other sheep that are not of this fold, and he admits that and he says that, that's just about the best insurance you can get. It beats Obamacare 100%. Not criticizing anybody. I would if I wanted to, but I'm not. But this is good insurance to know Jesus has me. I'm not there yet, but Jesus has me. Hallelujah. Because he said, I have other sheep. That don't mean that. He wasn't meaning by that, I have other denominations and they're saved too. That's not what he was saying. Some people take it like that. He wasn't saying other people don't believe the truth, but they're mine too. That wasn't what he was saying. He was saying there are others on the way that are not here yet. And the truth of the matter, those in that conversation, some of those very ones hearing him talk at that time were other sheep that were not of this fold. Because there was a transition going on. So many times people get confused about the thief on the cross and then the truth that we present in the church here. Because the precious truth that's in the Word of God cannot be denied. And when you hear it, if it offends you, you need to check yourself and see if you're of God. Because the Word of God will not offend a child of God. Hallelujah. Does this offend you? In order for you to be saved, you need to repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus, not using the words that are not including the name of Jesus, but you must be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and God has promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. And all the examples we have in the Word of God where they receive the Holy Ghost, we see the examples of they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And all that comes in response to the question that was asked by a group of people that had been guilty of agreeing to let the assassination of Jesus Christ take place, gathering near a church where people were clapping their hands and saying, Hallelujah! And hearing that noise, and it was like a rushing mighty wind. And they started asking, what does this mean? What is that all about? Who are these people? What are they up to? Why are they all making that noise? Some said they're drunk. Others said, yeah, it's some kind of crazy stuff that they've gotten a hold of and making them act this way. But Peter came out and stood before them and said, these are not drunken. Now I'm asking you, the things I'm saying right now, folks, all of you listening, wherever you may be, is this line of talk starting to bother you? If so, you might want to check and see who your God is. Because I'm just giving you the Word of God. It's right here. It's right here. Why do you suppose Why do you suppose when a preacher gets in this area of the book of Acts, some people are ready to turn the internet off? Is that you? Some people are ready for church to be over. It's time to look at the watch and see if it's still running. Some people are ready for this preacher to get through because this is not the way the other churches talk about this. Because most everywhere you go, you will hear the salvation plan mean whatever is seemingly the best to build that congregation. And the most common way is, do you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you believe in your heart? Will you confess in your with your mouth that Jesus Christ died and rose again? If you can believe and you can confess, you can be saved. And now, please hold on. If you're sitting in this building or out there on the internet or watching somewhere through all of our various video ministries, and you're sitting there thinking, well, I've always thought and I still believe that that's the way you get saved. Well, don't get mad at me and don't get mad at God, because we have some truth for you to help you out. Amen. But let me go back to where I was and I'll come back to this so I don't forget. All this going on in the book of Acts, but, you know, so many people go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, skip Acts, go to Romans. Why do they want to skip Acts? You think Jesus appreciates that if he were sitting in a church service and they were saying all these good words about the good things that happened, the thief on the cross, and he said to the one hanging beside him, to Jesus, you know, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus, with nails, spikes in his hands and feet, bleeding and dying, said to the thief, this day you will be with me in paradise. I've heard so many people after I've talked about some of these things say, well, if you have to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name, what about the thief on the cross? Don't let me forget to come back to these other things, because I get on these tangents because there's so much. It's like a goodie of a pecan. You crack it open, get a little bit, and you want some more. So crack it some more, and there's more there. And pretty soon, you had to crack some more. You put them in your hand, and you get them, and you got the goodies. And I got some goodies here. Let me tell you something. The thief on the cross was hanging on a cross. He was a Jew hanging on a cross, next to a Jew hanging on a cross. He was a thief hanging on a cross. And there was a plan for people of that day, before this crucifixion of Jesus, before the death of Jesus. Now, that thief was hanging at a time when the Mosaic law was still in effect, the law of Moses. That thief was hanging there when you were still supposed to go to a priest. You were supposed to bring a sacrifice and offer up a sacrifice. And there were many rules and legalistic ways that you had to obey God in order to get those sins rolled forward to a time when all these things would be taken care of, when the Messiah would come. Amen. Who do you think was hanging beside that thief on the cross? The Lamb of God, God's sacrificial lamb, not just any old lamb, and not the best lamb that any person could bring to the tabernacle to get the blood, you know, to get all this taken care of. Not just any old bullock and not just any old turtle dove. What was hanging on that cross was a supreme sacrifice. Glory. Amen. Glory. That would take the place and be the replacement for all other sacrifices. Amen. Amen. He was a thief hanging next to a bleeding sacrificial lamb supplied for him by the Almighty God Himself. You can't beat a sacrifice like that. So there he was. The other thing he needed under that law of that time was he needed to be with a priest. Who you think was hanging on that cross? The only reason there ever had been priests, and all these priests, many of them had sin in their lives. But the only reason they had been in existence was to point people forward to the greatest high priest that mankind would ever know. He was hanging next to the priest that had never sinned and never would sin. who was totally able to forgive him of his sins, providing he had a good sacrifice. And baptism in Jesus' name was not available till after the cross. So you go tell your father, the devil, to shut up. That bother you? It probably bothered these people when Jesus talked like that too. Amen. God's good, isn't he? I said all that in love. I'm not against anybody. Look, when somebody is saying all you have to do to be saved, pay close attention to what comes next. Because if they leave off the Word of God and you enjoy it, you might as well start sitting there clapping your hands singing, I love the way you lie. Because if it's not God's way, it's the way of the father of lies. And the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent. This is Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. How many is that? How many does that leave out? Repent and be baptized, everyone. I know the lady that told me down south, all you ever do is preach Acts 2:38. Yeah, you're of your father the devil. That's why you don't like it too, right? Whenever you get born again of the water and spirit and you get this in you, I'll go back over in Deuteronomy somewhere and teach you what you're supposed to wear too. Or not wear. But we won't even go there because that really offends devils. But I will say this much. It's an abomination to God, saith the Lord in the book, for a woman to wear that which pertains to a man, and for a man to wear that which pertains to a woman. You don't have to receive it. That's not the plan of salvation, but it's in the book. So don't criticize these Pentecostals because they try to separate themselves from the ways of the world and not being an abomination to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If anything was an abomination a long time ago, be careful what you do. Because that ain't me, that's God. It's not my idea, because if it's left up to me, hey, I might wear a dress once in a while and come to church. No, why not? What's the difference? I see men in dresses. But, you know, and there are extremes now. We could go to extremes on this thing. You know, and I could say a few things right here that would offend a bunch of brothers and sisters who believe Jesus' name, get the Holy Ghost. I could argue the point one way or another, and I could be right on either side. And some people, even me saying that, say, yep, you're a compromiser right now. I see you're a compromiser. But I'm not even on that subject, and I'm not going to get on that subject other than just to say, I know how to start confusion if I want to. And I know how to get the Pentecostals upset, and I know to get how to get some of them to holler, amen, you're right. I know how to get all these people divided over an issue and have everybody forget what I'm supposed to be up here talking about. So I'm just going to drop that part and come back to what I'm talking about and leave you wondering. Amen. Does it make you uncomfortable when somebody says you must be baptized in the name of Jesus? And if you were baptized any other way, leaving off the name, then you were not baptized at all. Does that make you uncomfortable? The answer to get yourself comfortable is get baptized right. And you know what? Even if you've been immersed in water 55 times in an effort to get it right, if you were sincere, perhaps you were one of those sheep, one of his sheep, not of this fold that he is bringing in to this fold. So there will come a time when you and all of us will have one shepherd and we'll all be in one fold. Hallelujah. The only thing you need to do is, and rather than attack the preacher and attack the people that you don't agree with, is just be agreeable. Do it like the world does it. Let's just agree to disagree and be friends. Because a sincere heart that's really searching does not have to get in, you know, in each other's face and turn red and get mad, because it's not a personal attack. I'm not against anybody. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of things I enjoyed doing in my life before I went to Connecticut, and going to Connecticut was not in my plans. And being in New England, and I'm not sorry that I came. But the only reason I came is because what I have got a hold of that brought me here is real. Otherwise, I had other things that I enjoyed in other places more than anything I've ever seen here other than this church. And this church only consisted of Brother and Sister Baker and a couple of people hung out with them and went to a different church when I came here. And I think Brother Bobby Smith and his mom, they meet over to Baker's house once in a while. That was it. There were really, it was just a little handful of people praying that God would put a church in Connecticut in Norwich. And I was praying, God, send me where you want me to be. But I was thinking about what I wanted it to be, and it wasn't Norwich. You ever prayed for God to have his way, and all the time you're praying, you're thinking, what did you want that way to be? I guarantee you, Sister Jennifer's been on her knees saying, oh God, have your way and help me get this management job. And God sees that and he understands. She got it. But what if he said, I want you to just clean toilets from now on? Just pay you for it. What if he said, for no pay? We just don't know what God's plan might be. But see, that's what he did to me, Jennifer, Sister Jennifer. Because I was going to drive this big old motorhome, go all over the country, and I was going to be the manager, and God sent me to Norwich to clean toilets. No pay. Hey, what an honor this is. I ain't calling you a toilet now, don't get me wrong. I clean these toilets sometimes. I got me an assistant. Why do you think I got Brother Joe to be the assistant pastor? He comes in here two or three times a week and cleans toilets so I can preach. But I don't like to preach in a stinking place. Thank you, Brother Joe. Now you know your job with no pay. Isn't God good? I'm coming back to this over and over. Does it make you uncomfortable? Does it make you feel restless? Christian friend, wherever you may be, whoever you are, when anybody gets into that book of Acts and starts talking about what Peter said, when the question was asked, what shall we do? And that answer that came, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. The devil's crowd suddenly rises up in thought, sometimes in words, sometimes in debate, sometimes in arguments, sometimes on the internet and chat rooms that grow to 500 or 600 people with people mad at each other. The devil rises up and says to them, to his children, I'd rather take the words of Jesus than the words of the apostles. And Jesus said, go into all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's the way I did it. Oh, yeah? So what was that name? Child of the devil. What is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? Let me give you a hint. Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. What was the name of Jesus? Anybody know? I mean, that's a Harvard now. Does anybody know the name of Jesus? What's his name? Wow, how'd you guess? What's the name of Jesus? You got it again. Even children know the answer. Okay, if Jesus said, I came in my Father's name, Forget everything else that anybody's told you about God and give me a common sense answer. If Jesus came with the same name that his father has, what do you think that name was? Well, how did you guess? And Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. The Holy Ghost will come to you in my name. So, if the name of the Father is Jesus, and the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus, name of Jesus is Jesus. I already told you the answer, the third one, my Lord. What do you think the name of the Holy Spirit name would be? Jesus. Hallelujah. So these devil's crowd people say, you're Jesus only. They do it like, only, only. That's what I see every time I hear, you're one of those Jesus only. Because the devil is a retard. And I don't say, I'm not against all retards. But the devil's retarded. And he can't talk about Jesus without twisting. He don't talk clean. He says, you're Jesus only. You're Jesus only. You want to be a follower of a stupid God? He's stupid. And Jesus calmly, through the centuries, tells every person in every nation to repent and be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Because there is a name involved here. Jesus, when you say, I now baptize you in Jesus' name, you have baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you something that you're not doing when you baptize using the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If you got baptized and the preacher said, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and that was it, you were not baptized in the name of Jesus. And the Bible declares there's only one name given under heaven among men. Does this make you nervous? There's only one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That name is not Father. That name is not Son. That name is not Holy Ghost. That name is not sun, moon, stars. That name is not grass. It's not cow. It's not Father, Son, Holy Ghost, husband, wife, daughter, dog, cat. Even your dog has a name. These devils, they're so ignorant, so stupid. You know, but people submitted to them. Say stupid things just like the devils tell them to say. Because when you're yielded to a spirit that you're in, you know, that you're being controlled by, then you start manifesting that spirit. So these unchurched, ungodly people who think they're right are listening to, you're listening to Jesus only, folks. And then it just gets worse because now it's like their eardrums are going because every time they hear Jesus, it hurts. Remember Sister Vicky said, I was a Satan worshiper. She was a high priestess of a Satan worship cult all through her growing up. And she said all through those years, not one time did the name of Jesus, the word Jesus, did not come from her mouth. She said, I could not say Jesus. And she said, from the time I was a small child until just, and this happened a few years ago when she told us this, she said, till just a few weeks ago, from the time I was a small child until a few weeks ago when I went to that little Pentecostal church and I raised my hand, she said, for the first time in my life, I said, Jesus. Because the devil don't want you to be Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, I loved it today when I told a man who says he's a warlock, I told him right in his face, I said, you know what? You need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. I looked him right in the eye. I looked him right in the eye. A warlock. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. That devil he's serving could not get back at me. It melted the man, and he said, I have a lot to learn. Let's praise the Lord. Use that name of Jesus. It's okay if the devil gets mad. It's okay. Because the God that created all things is with you. He loves you. You're His child. He hears your voice. The thief sneaks around. Tries to slip up on your blind side. He works in the darkness to try to steal your joy, to try to steal the truth before you get it, to distract you with some crazy sound, a fire truck, a screaming baby with the colic, or you know, I went through several years in evangelizing. What time is it? Okay, I'm almost through. I have to ask because I won't ever quit. But the several years of evangelizing, I went through, it seemed like every service, God would give me a message, and it was powerful, and I wanted to preach it, and I was so blessed all day studying the Word and praying. And oh, I love evangelistic work because I pray, and I, you know, just study the Word, and there's nothing to do except sit around because the preacher's usually busy. I mean, the most boring life. If you want to be entertained, don't be an evangelist, because when you go to visit church, they put you either in some little old room and leave you there, or they put you in a motel and leave you there. Or they put you in somebody else's house and leave you there, and they all leave and go to work, and you're just there. Yeah. But during those days, man, you talk about loving the Word of God. You get into that Word of God, get up in the morning, start reading the Bible and praying, and there's nothing else to do, so you do it some more, and there's nothing else to do, so you do it some more. Amen. They didn't have TVs in most of those homes. Couldn't wait to get to no, I won't say that. And they didn't have internet because it didn't exist. So I have my Bible and prayer and access to the refrigerator. Sometimes that wasn't all that good. But I'd pray and I'd pray and I'd seek after God. Then I'd go preach at these churches. And the craziest things would happen. Because I knew I'd heard from God. These messages were from God. I mean, I was preaching in one church. And just at the time when I was ready to really make a point, and just the most beautiful thing going on, I looked back and the pastor behind me was counting the offering out because it was the last night of revival. And he had the offering basket in his hand. And when I saw all that money, I said, man, he's going to pay me good. And, you know, and I need it. I always need money. And so he was taking the money from one pan, putting it into another. Like this, he's sitting right behind me, counting my money that he's going to give me when I get through preaching. And not that we're doing it for money, but I knew what that was all about. And he was just getting an early start so he could go home and eat, I guess. So, you know, I was trying to make a plea for the people to come and give their hearts to God. And he was right in the heart of this message in the ending when everybody starts weeping, starts moving toward the front and giving their hearts to God. He started counting money. And I looked back at him, but he didn't just count money. He went like he'd put a dollar in one pan, and then his hand started going faster, faster, faster. And he went. And he fell on the floor and started kicking, and money went everywhere. And that's where the service ended. It ended with an ambulance coming. They had to haul him off, and that was the end of the revival. That's just crazy stuff happened like that. It took me about 2 weeks to get that offering. Yeah. I walked into a place, and it was one of the biggest places they'd ever asked me to come and preach. A big, great big crowd, standing wall to wall, and what an honor it was. It was some kind of a conference gathering, and this noted evangelist, Ren Rutledge, had come a long way to preach, and they gave me this big, flowery introduction, and I could hardly wait to get in the pulpit. I had a message. I prayed and sought after God. It was a message of truth, and they were ready to receive. They'd been jumping and shouting hallelujah, the choir singing, having a big time. And I got up, and they were all standing, just a crowd of people. And I read my text, and as soon as I got to the last word, the woman right in front of me fainted and fell right down at my feet. Somebody said, call an ambulance. And that ended, I mean, my sermon ended up with people working with her and ambulance hauling her out, and I didn't get to preach my sermon. And quite a little bit I tried, just that was somebody's grandma, somebody's mama, somebody's sister, somebody's wife, and somebody's, you know, the whole church was concerned. So, and another place, I walked in, and it was on Sunday, and I got up and read my text. I had prayed and sought after God. As soon as I read my text, everybody walked out. I said, "What's going on, Pastor?" He said, "It's okay, go ahead and preach." He said, "This is Watermelon Sunday." He said, "We give away watermelons to get them to come to church." And so everybody in the congregation left me with an empty building, surrounded the church with open windows, and ate watermelon looking through the window at me while I preached. I could go on and on. I mean, it's not all that, but I'm just, the reason I'm saying this, Satan will do anything to keep you from hearing this truth. And I'm here tonight on the internet all over the world. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe somebody fell down next to you. Maybe the kid's blowing snot all over your nice crease in your pants that you got ready to go to work tomorrow. Maybe somebody's coughing and hacking, and maybe somebody's shooting your neighbor right now. But you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Let's all stand and praise the Lord. Don't let this truth get away from you. Because all the devil has to offer is crazy stuff. But this will set you free. This will set you free. It wasn't available for the thief on the cross, but it's available for a thief today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody needs to repent. Everybody needs to be baptized in the only name that saves. The only name that saves. Does that make you uncomfortable? If it does not make you uncomfortable, then you're probably a sheep that's either of this fold, or you're one of his sheep that's not of this fold as yet, but you will be. God bless you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah.